Hello and welcome back to Raw Thoughts. Today I have a great friend of mine, the biohacking nurse, coming on to talk to us a little bit more about our health, what we can be doing to biohack our lives, and being able to discuss some more of health, really, is what Cheyenne Welton is here to do. So welcome, Cheyenne Welton.
Thanks, Kinsey.
Yeah. I can't believe this. So
I know. I'm so honored to be here.
Yeah. So I have known Cheyenne since I was, we were like 10, 11, 12.
Second grade, whatever that age is.
Yeah. So second grade, I have known Cheyenne. She was, her older brother was actually best friends with my sister. They connected a lot. And then we really formed our friendship from Deer Flat Church. Mm-hmm. So every Sunday, we went to different elementary schools, actually. And so every Sunday was like the friends day, getting, you know, our mochas and, you know, sugared donuts to now we're talking about health.
Probably not eating those things, which set me up for my health issues. But.
Exactly. So, Cheyenne, you have really had a background with mental health, depression, anxiety. You know, talk to us a little bit about like what your past has been.
Cool. So I'm sure, I don't know if you noticed as a kid, I was always really tired. I couldn't keep up with any of the kids around me. I slept like way more than I should have. In high school, I would come home and just fall asleep. I had no energy, but I still managed to live a pretty like full life. And when I was 17, I lost my dad to suicide, and I'm pretty open about that journey. But when that happened, it was obviously really traumatic. And then my body just gave up on me. And I was bedridden for 3 months after that. And I don't know if it was the trauma that kind of just like stopped my body systems like from fighting. And I had a cancer scare. They didn't know what to do with me. They said, you're going to just be like this. You have chronic fatigue. And basically it didn't do much for me. And that was like the beginning of everything. And that was when I was 17 and I'm almost 29. So I've been researching and trying things for over 10 years now.
Cheyenne, we're almost 30. You are 29.
I just pray my 30s are a lot easier than my 20s, let me tell you.
And I do remember that as a kid, but you were so active. I mean, you were the rodeo queen. I mean, barrel racing was her thing. Like, what'd you win in high school?
I was a district champion every year in high school, but in middle school, I won the state championship for 2 years, and then I made it to nationals and placed in the top 10, which was really, really fun.
That's awesome. I remember that, always going out to your house, having the horses. Like, you would have never thought that you were struggling with fatigue because you were always active. Your parents were so active. I mean, in sports, you know, basketball, like on all, you know, everything, you were just doing stuff. Like, you were just forging through all of that fatigue. And a lot of us kids didn't know that you were struggling with that.
Yeah. And I think those are things that keep you going. So I always advocate for people to just get up no matter what you're going through. And get outside and do those things. I think after I quit riding horses, actually, my health got worse too, which is a really interesting going back. I think riding horses, getting outside was very therapeutic for the trauma that I've endured, as well as I talk a lot about grounding and sunshine and how that helps our body like really receive electrons to heal ourselves. And it turns off our epigenetics. So if you're scared, you have a genetic destiny. Maybe things are running in your family that you think is going to happen to you. There's things called epigenetics where we actually have the ability to turn on and off our genes through our environment, our toxic load, our thoughts, how we process trauma.
Yeah. And you are one of the top 50 in the world for biohacking. Like, that's seriously unbelievable. So tell me some of the grounding, the processes. Let's dive a little bit deeper into what it actually means. Like, what do you do to ground yourself and get those, you know, healthy electrons?
So this is a challenging thing because we live in a city now with a lot of Wi-Fi technology, apartment buildings. If you're not on the grounded floor, you're already at a risk for like having more symptoms in general, whether it's anxiety or irritability. And so especially if you live in the city and you don't, your where you sleep is not on the ground level, you really need to make grounding a priority. The hard part is talking to a lot of like environmental engineers and nature experts is like some grounding, even in the city, won't give you the benefit anymore because it's on too many power grids. And so that's why people want to like get out of the city and they go to the beach or they take weekend trips to the woods. Like, do you know that feeling when you go into the mountains?
Yeah. Oh, I do.
Yeah, right? All the symptoms almost go away. Yeah. Whatever you're dealing with, stress, trauma, you get creative when you're in nature. You get happy. I feel like you can really look back on relationships. Maybe you're struggling with one or you struggled with one and you're like, wow, you get these like turning points in your life. That's what nature's doing for you actually on a like a biochemical level.
Absolutely. I mean, I think a lot of us, especially living in Idaho, we need those things. We want to go out into, you know, the nature and be able to just feel what is mm-hmm. truly raw about it, is that there isn't all of these external, you know, processes going around us. There's not the cars, there's not the sounds. Like, we're not thinking about all of these things. And even if we're not thinking them, our brain is still taking in all of those, you know, emotions and taking in all of those just triggers for mm-hmm. us, if we know it or not.
Yeah. I was talking to someone just about, like triggers, environmental stimuli, like the brain is constantly responding. So sometimes you have to ask yourself, what actually are you giving your brain to respond to? And those are where your life, I think, is truly going to change.
So how does somebody that lives in the city, or even, you know, outside of the city, but lives on the second floor, like what really is the process of grounding?
So if you live on a second floor, I would say to prioritize going outside in the mornings, getting, if you have a patio, get morning sun. It resets your circadian rhythm. So that's going to help a little bit. It's also going to help you in your cortisol balance. Like if we have too high of cortisol, we feel stressed, we feel wired. We have excess weight that we can't lose. If we have low cortisol, which is actually my patterns with the chronic fatigue, it's hard for me to put on weight and muscle. You're more in a catabolic state. You're not building. And so it's hard to build your hormones. So I was low hormones. So getting morning sun actually can balance both. So it's such a great tool for everyone. And I think actually we have really messed up cortisol patterns because we rush to work before we see the sun.
Yeah.
And so it's really often everyone. You could pay for a test, but the sun, the things I just talked about are pretty good indicators.
Yeah. And I know that, you know, on your Instagram, you really challenge people to go outside, take their shoes off, you know, really feel. So what is something else besides grounding that can be free at home and really take a little bit more control of your life?
Well, the grounding is important and it's cool because I actually encourage you to shut off your phone too, or else you won't get the true benefits. Walking 5,000 steps a day. The research shows 10, but I find that 5,000 is much more attainable. If you're getting 5,000 steps a day, your whole life will start to change. I've seen people walk their way out of depression and anxiety to the point where they want to start running. It was crucial in my recovery from Lyme disease, which we can talk about, but I basically started biohacking because I was so sick that, I saw over 50 doctors by the time I was just like, I don't even know what to do. I was bit by a tick when I was a kid and it was undiagnosed and it was just really hard on my cellular health. It's basically like no matter what you're doing, you're just super toxic. And so, I was bedridden for almost 2 years at one point in my life, and I lost the ability to walk. They thought I had MS. And so one thing that I just personally made a goal was to walk. And I could only walk a block at a time when I was first diagnosed. And I was like, everyone, if people knew how weak and tired I was, like, I was ashamed because I'm like, people my age don't go through this. I think it's actually more common than we think now. Chronic illness is an epidemic. And so walking was actually one of my biggest tools in recovery because I talk a lot about mitochondria being the powerhouse of your cells. It gives you your energy. It helps you overcome trauma, actually. It helps you, like, when you have energy, you're probably making more money. You're making more moves in your life. People want to be around energy. You know, energy you can also feel, too. So the only way to make new mitochondria, one of the only ways, is to actually move your body. So no doctor taught me that. They're like, you know, you're just tired. And so it's like I have to come up with ways that I can actually create new energy. And a lot of that was movement, sunshine, this grounding. And it's still a part of my life because I tell people what makes you well, you have to keep doing. Like, don't stop and go back to your old life.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that especially, you know, working as a paramedic, and people would stop their medications. And I'm like, why did you stop your medications? They're like, oh, I felt good. And it's like, you felt good because you were taking that. Mm-hmm. You feel good when you work out. So if you stop doing that, you're going to go down the route that it doesn't feel good again.
Yeah.
So you got diagnosed with Lyme disease. What was really the next step after that in getting your life back, really taking a hold of it?
So I felt like I had won the lottery once I got a diagnosis. But then when I started researching, I realized I was screwed because one, it was known as incurable. That was almost 10 years ago, or I was 21 at the time. And I guess I had been studying natural health so that I could be better prepared to keep researching. So I had just tried a lot of things personally because doctors, it's not covered by insurance. So you're already at a loss. You're like, and usually natural methods are the best way because when it's chronic, antibiotics cannot even touch it. Antibiotics also damage mitochondria, which you're trying to improve. It ruins the gut microbiome, which you need to strengthen to ultimately overcome most diseases. And you have a risk of kidney and liver failure. So that was what I was up against. And he said, we're going to do IV antibiotics. And this was a world specialist. And I went into his waiting room and I interviewed everyone in that waiting room. And I said, how long have you been here? And are you better? And they had all been there 1 to 2 years and no one was better.
Wow. But yet they're still doing it.
And that's where, like, I think just biohacking and taking control of your health is actually a complete behavioral change. And not many people are willing to do it unless they've watched you and followed you. And that's kind of why I started my Instagram, because people have been with me since day one, some of them, and they watched the entire thing. And I was just blogging about how sick I was and just like, I was like, oh, well, today I'm struggling really bad and like I can't do anything, you know?
Yeah.
To today, sometimes it scares me how much I know because I watch people approach doctors and see what they're told. And like, I'm like, if you only knew what was in my head. But I try to, like, the more I've learned and can get complex, because I take pretty complex courses now and I can really have conversations with pretty much anyone. I actually am like, how could I have simplified things to make it more attainable? And no one taught me that. No one showed me that, like, this journey would be way longer than I thought. So then I could actually relax a little bit, that I could surrender to the lows and the highs that, like, going through detoxing and changing everything in your cabinet. And like my home now, like I just did an interview this morning. Like I took my house for mold, which is one of the number one causes of disease, both psychiatric and physical health. And then I check my home for EMFs, which can cause irritability, fatigue, nervous system issues. I have so many clients that just reach out and they're like, I have buzzing in my head and I just can't. And I'm like, yeah, that's the symptoms where people are dealing with now. Like buzzing in your head all day, like, and a psychiatrist is going to tell you you're crazy.
Yeah.
But they actually are very toxic and they live in a toxic environment. And like, some people I'm like, okay, can you go outside and ground and tell me how you feel? Like some people are like, oh, I'm not anxious anymore. You know, like, and so this morning I had a special guest in my home and he like basically tells he like sees your symptoms and he goes to your house and tells you what's making you sick.
Wow. And that's locally.
He is local to Idaho, but he travels nationwide, and he basically, he does celebrity homes now because people are catching on. But he's a good friend of mine, and he can't keep up with the demand.
Yeah, the more that we get, right, technology, we're in these microphones, we're in these cameras, our phones, internet, like you said, all these things are expanding. We really have to look inward on the human body of what it's doing to us physically, but not only physically, but more importantly, our emotionally and our mental health. Mm-hmm. And I know you have really, struggled with some of those things, trying to take those negative toxic relationships out of your life and taking those toxic, food and energy levels out of your life to be able to really make that passionate. What was that like? I know you're very open with the process of your dad. I remember, it was our spring break when he committed suicide. And I know that really takes a lot of drive in what you do now, because you want people to be aware of it. Mm-hmm. You want people to take it to the next level and say, hey, eliminate these things and you're going to feel better, emotionally, physically, mentally. How is that really striving with you with your dad passing?
What's hard for me is if I had known all these things I know now when he was struggling, I know we could have turned around his situation.
Yeah.
I've met people personally who have recovered from what he had. And no one ever looked at the food he was eating. I mean, he lived off processed foods and canned foods. He had mercury in his mouth. And then one of the number one causes of psychiatric illness is mercury. You get it in your fillings. And dentists have no idea the destruction it will cause in a person's life. And he also, I believe, had Lyme disease. He was hunting with us and got bit by ticks. And most people, I've read studies, and 99% of people with mental illness have Lyme disease.
Wow.
I mean, I remember the day I got diagnosed, and I wanted to call one of my really good friends at the time. And I remember her calling me, and before I could tell her that I had Lyme disease, she was like, the love of my life killed himself. And I'm like, what's going on? And she's like, he had Lyme disease and he just couldn't find the solutions. And so he ended his life, because he was like this amazing basketball player at Boise State, actually, and got sick overnight. And since he didn't have the right scenario, the resources, and a doctor didn't even know how to really look at him as a person, he was put on antibiotics and just got worse. And so I couldn't even tell her that day that I had Lyme disease, because I was just like, she's going through this. I don't want her to worry about me. But, it's just really hard because my dad was medicated and it got worse. And I watched him for years. And that was part of my trauma, was like watching the person that I loved, so dearly, my biggest cheerleader. He taught me a lot of my morals and my values.
He taught so many people morals and values. I mean,
totally.
He was the dad where he's like, come on, kids, let's get in the car. Let's go buy you some thongs. I will never forget that day. I'm like, Diane, what is your dad doing? Like, he's like, go, girls, go have fun. We'll get ice cream after this. I was like, Cheyenne, what seriously is happening right now?
Well, he taught me a lot about quality time. He taught me a lot about family, my faith in God.
He was a staple.
Yeah. And he was like a father to many of our community. I even see people today that's like, your dad was more of a dad than my dad was. So, I think as much as I know about health, and sometimes I want to walk away from this and just be like, I want to just go live my life and be normal, because everyone's like, God, she goes so above and beyond to live her life. And sometimes I'm like, yeah, I just want to kind of go get drinks with my friends and not even tell them what I've been through. But then I go back to like, we will just continue to see the world get sicker and sicker unless we talk about these things and what's out there. And I pretty much, like, when a person talks to me, I almost know exactly what's going on without, I mean, I just met someone last week in Carlsbad, and I'm so glad she just told me she had heart problems. And I'm like, you're my age, you shouldn't be having heart problems.
Right.
And I said, have you ever been bit by a tick? She goes, yep. I said, have you ever lived in black mold? And she goes, yep. And I'm like, that's exactly why you have heart issues. And it causes AFib and these crazy things in a young person and anxiety. And she's like, who are you? Like, right. She's literally like, where did you come from? And I'm like, here's some resources. I want to save you a decade and hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yeah, which you are. I mean, especially the way that you have really strived with the biohacking nurse, right? You went to nursing school. You were tempted going into the actual hospital setting, didn't like it. You've done, you know, home health. And I think you really learned that education piece and really have that support behind with the nurse's degree to take you on to the next levels, the courses. But that's what you're meant here to do, you know, like just you said, you know, like, oh, I want a normal life. Like, do any of us really have normal lives? I mean, come on.
I wonder. I'm like, because I feel like I have to have like a unicorn setting, you know, like the clean house and the organic food. And but like, that's actually probably what we were supposed to be doing in our ancestors. But like, I tell people, you know, was your mom sick when she had you, or does your mom have health issues? Because we get a lot of our microbiome from our moms. And what was she doing? Because sometimes, like, I can't live off my mom's nutrition because she has autoimmune and health issues now. So I know for my future generations, like, I have to build my nutrition and my mitochondria up before I have kids, because I don't want them to go through what their upper generations have experienced.
Right. And with each generation, you know, it's adding on the knowledge and the strength and encouraging them and just saying, hey, you know, this is what I learned, mm-hmm. and I'm trying to, you know, navigate you from not being like that as well.
Well, it can go both ways. You can also pass on your toxicity to each generation. And I'm just done. And I told my fiance, we have so many battles on both sides. You know, we're fighting divorce on both sides generationally. We're fighting mental illness on both sides. We're fighting autoimmunity, sleep issues. And I'm like, what if it could stop here? But it is a lot of work on both of our sides. Sometimes he's like, Cheyenne, how much more, you know, how much more do I have to do? And I just like keep putting a bug in his ear. And I'm like, it'll be worth it. It'll be worth it one day when we're 60 and we're thriving and our kids and their kids are thriving.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's going to be the moment. And like, yeah, we had to go through the shit to clean up our generational patterns.
Absolutely. And let's talk about this girl got engaged. Oh my God. I seriously cannot believe that still. And I get to be a bridesmaid and we are celebrating this summer and it's going to be so much fun. And even with your wedding, like, you have really tried to strive to have a, you know, a great opportunity for everybody, a healthy opportunity for everybody, because that's a part of you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, your fiance, you know, has been with you for so much of this.
Mm-hmm.
Picking you up from the ground, calling your doctors, talking with your parents. I mean, being the support system that you needed. How the heck did you find him?
So this is really funny because I actually met him at a really rough point in his life. And I knew I had my struggles, but I really love to help people. And so he had just gotten in a car accident and was not supposed to ever walk again and was in the ICU. And when he came out, we were just college friends at Boise State. And I remember the first time, though, I met him before his accident. And he definitely treated me like he was going to marry me from the first time we saw each other. And I was like, get lost. Like, this is not happening. And but we exchanged social media or something at the time. So we always stayed in contact. And I remember the first time that I thought I had MS and started having symptoms, my legs gave out and I was dancing at a wedding. And I was so scared that I felt like so safe around him. And so I called him and I told him what was going on, because I knew he had recovered from his accident and learned to walk again. And I knew he had a lot of the resources. And he said, I'm coming to get you tomorrow. We're going to go to my physical therapist and we're going to start doing some exercises. We're going to stimulate your muscles. And I remember just like from that day on, we just had a special connection that we could really depend on each other. But it took him 4 years after that for us to start dating. So he's a really special person. I think when I got in my head and I was like, you know, why would you want to be with someone who's chronically ill? Like, why would you, you know, he was like, this, like, these moments will turn into something so much bigger than you even can imagine. And you just like, you're already that person for people. Like, you walk the walk and you fight for health and actually healing yourself. And he was the one actually who was really supportive of me starting my Instagram. And he was like my Insta husband, taking the photos. And he has been every idea I've had or every doctor I wanted to see. He never doubted me. And he's like, if this is the step that you need to take, then let's do it. And I honestly couldn't have probably done the things that I've done without him, because he never doubted. Like, he sees the value behind the work that I do. He also got sick in toxic mold and started to really believe what it does to your brain. And now actually it's really talked about. One of the number one psychiatrists in the world now does brain scans with people with mold, and it totally shrinks the prefrontal cortex where your personality is. And people wonder why they're crazy and they can't recover and their whole lives are changed. And so, I mean, now it's proven. So back then I was doing stuff that no one was talking about and there was no resources. So it was thousands of hours of research that, honestly, I tell people, they go, what course should I take to learn what you know? I'm like, the School of Hard Knocks. There is no course. It's all self-taught, really. I take courses now to meet people because we're just all trying to like heal ourselves and heal our families. And but sometimes I'm like, the life experience is so much more. And now I usually only work with people or ask for help if they've had a similar life experience as me.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the biggest reasons why I really wanted to bring you on this podcast, is because I want people to have that knowledge and be able to reference to others about what they've gone through. And you know, if one person reaches out to you and say, oh my gosh, I'm all those symptoms that you're talking about, I feel that, you know, so many people in our lives and our age, they're renting, they're renting homes, they're in and out of places. And the home is where you're surrounded by. And even in your bathroom, so much mold around there. And taking those steps, it's not something that people, you know, really look into. Right. I mean, I sell real estate, we do home inspections, we look into the attic, the crawl space, these water damages. But people don't realize that it's also the way that they're living. It could be your job, you know, and you're like, why when I'm in that room, I feel so negative and I feel so down and I feel this anxiety come over me. It's the environment you're putting yourself in.
By the way, most government buildings, since they're so old, have tons of mold. So anyone who works in those, if I'm screening anyone, like, they're way most likely to have a mold issue. Post offices, schools are very bad. Teachers are very sick with mold, as well as students. If you look at a child with autism, you usually can see sky high levels of mold. And that's very much linked to the mother's exposure as well.
Wow. And so being locally, I mean, how do people really find out if they have mold in their environment?
So this is where the medical system fails us, sadly. I do believe in acute care for medical care, but that's pretty much all I use it for. Functional medicine is kind of catching on to environmental toxicity, but they still don't understand it very much. So there are some testing things that you can do, mostly urine tests cover metabolites of mold, other toxins like glyphosate. We could talk about toxins for days, but they basically disrupt your cell, the ways your cells function. You can measure it, which I think is important, but I think avoidance and just living a clean lifestyle is going to get you way farther without spending all the money. For legal purposes, some people do the testing, but testing doesn't necessarily give you a clue how to treat it, in my opinion.
Right. Yeah. And they definitely do, you know, there are places that remediate mold. You mm-hmm. know, it's not just that you have to move out of it. There's remediations that you can be able to take upon.
And I'm very picky on those as well. Yes. Because I've seen horrible ones that got my clients 10 times sicker. So be careful on the remediation. They also, you know, they don't understand the health aspects. And so you shouldn't even be living in your home when you're remediating. You should have specialists that know what they're doing and also know like proper ventilation, cleaning. I mean, your house should be like marked off in certain areas, which that doesn't always happen. And I have a friend who has a super nice home who can no longer live in it because they remediated wrong.
Wow. And what does that remediation look like being wrong?
They usually stir up more mycotoxins than they should be because they didn't like wall off and have negative pressure. So they need to be utilizing those things. If there is mold, like you really need to cut off all of that out of the house and remove it. And then HEPA vacuums need to be in place because the mycotoxins are basically like a biological warfare. They're a toxic exposure. They're directly linked to infertility, cancers, like all these things that we're trying to solve in the medical world. Mycotoxins are a huge piece because they're also in the food. They're in crappy coffee. Like if you feel jittery and get stomach aches from coffee, it's probably because it's moldy. Wow. That's a big, big problem. And then most people have IBS. Like, what are you doing every day? What are you putting in your mouth every day? Usually like moldy foods. That's why I think the paleo movement got really big because they took out grains from the diet. Grains are very moldy. They cause a lot of IBS symptoms. And so, you know, watching what goes in your mouth and your body, but then the home and making sure they're remediating and then making sure you can go back and live in it. But if you can't, then you have to move, which is also really traumatic for people. If your stuff's covered in it, you have to get rid of your stuff, which we did. And I told Joey, I'm like, I can't believe we made it through that. And then we have such a beautiful home now, but it's so hard for people. And this is probably why people ultimately don't get well, is that financial piece.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, as we wrap up things, I would love for you to be able to tell the followers how they can reach out to you, how they can learn more, right? We just touched on such a minuscule aspect of what Cheyenne brings to the world on mental health, on health itself, on physical mold. Where can people find you?
So this year, I've been on Instagram now for a long time, but I've been a little bit shadow banned when I talk about certain things. Especially my last round of COVID, I like really tackled it and I talked about it, and I got shut down. Like I can't share as much as I'd like to. So I started a Patreon account, which I really am having fun with because I can really say what I want to, and I give subscribers like, I really want to start actually bringing on experts, and then subscribers can get in on a webinar and actually get most of their questions answered, which I would have paid for years ago because I was just like, I need to find answers. And then I've done even posts to like how to retrain your brain, which is really important when you're overcoming or you want to reach the next level. If you've never, your brain can only fathom like what it's experienced. And sometimes when we want to get to the next level in our lives, whether it's like money problems, relationship issues, health issues, like our brain won't go there unless you retrain it. So I talk a lot about neuroplasticity now, like what can change the brain. And I've talked a few things about that. I'm going to have an expert post with integrative pharmacist, how to use low dose naltrexone, one of the drugs I do believe in. It has almost no side effects. It helps people with chronic pain, chronic disease, so many benefits. He even told me it's a mental health stabilizer. People have gotten off psychiatric meds. You know, wow. It's just like, why does no one talk about that? And he's a pharmacist, like, and he has seen, you know, drug after drug after drug. And he's like, LDN is the shit. Like,
wow.
And everyone's struggling with Epstein-Barr virus, long COVID. Like, this is a great tool that it's so affordable. And there's docs online you can call up and get a prescription without even going to your doc. Like, that's the level that that I think everyone should have access to that no one talks about.
Yeah, let's have access to that and not opioids.
Yeah, it's actually a huge, huge cross bridge for addicts. So opioids, there's some doctors now trained. You cannot be on LDN when you're on opioids because it blocks and creates more endogenous opioid, like endogenous. Why am I blanking? I hear these terms every day. Endorphins.
Oh, there you go.
Okay. And that's already what narcotics are doing, but there are some doctors trained to bring down the opioids while you're working with LDN, and then gut support, how to heal your brain from this crisis. And so I've seen it even in alcoholics and, you know, addicts.
Wow. Well, I really want to appreciate you coming onto the podcast. Definitely check out the show notes. We'll have links. You have biohacking for your sleep, your health, your home. I mean, anything, honestly, that you want to talk about, this girl's got it. So definitely go follow her. I would love to know, you know, how your webinars go and get some of, you know, the followers on there to be able to ask questions and really dive deep into taking hold of your life, hacking the systems that we have, and really, really taking control back of our lives and, more importantly, our health.
Mm-hmm.
One last note, you know, I really love to push the advocacy of suicide awareness. Is there anything, any one last note that you could give people if they're really in that rut in thinking suicidal thoughts?
I would say first and foremost, like, call someone and tell them and have a support system, because while you're learning the tools that you're going to need, it's going to take time and it's not overnight. And so telling someone that you're not okay, and like, actually, if you're in that place, like, do not be alone.
Right.
Constantly, like, have two to three advocates that can be around the clock and say like, hey, I need to be with you at this time. Then I need to be with you, and they know what's going on. And, you know, I pray that people have that. If they don't, like, I'm sure you know about hotlines or anything that you can mention, because suicide rates up are rising, like, a lot.
Astronomically now. We're seeing a lot of suicides within teens. We're seeing a lot of suicides even, you know, really across broad age range, male, female, because we're not doing a good job about talking about things like that. We're not doing a good job about talking about our problems. And, you know, that's why I really want to bring people on here with life experiences, because like you mentioned, you don't know how to get to that next level because you've never experienced it. So really, Raw Thoughts is about bringing on people with life experiences for free knowledge for you, so you can get to the next level of your life. So, Cheyenne, I am so excited to watch where you go. You have been a huge support system for me in my life, and definitely we'll have you on and talk a little bit more in later episodes. So thank you again for coming, and followers on Raw Thoughts, I would love for you to once again take a screenshot with my girl Cheyenne, tag her, the bio hacking nurse, and share it to all your friends, your family. If you know anybody, send them their way. So thank you again, and I hope you have a good day. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you for tuning into the show today. Your feedback is very important to me. If you could leave a review, as well as follow me on Instagram at rawthoughts.podcast and email in at m.rawthoughts@gmail.com if you have any guest suggestions.